everyone, and welcome to Deeper. My name is Austin Slater, and I'm here with Pastor Dan Kinnis from Friendship Christian Reformed. And we're just kind of here to go a little deeper in our faith, talk about Scripture, talk about the Bible, talk about what we talked about last Sunday. So, you know, another chance to just re-engage with that Scripture. We're glad that you're here to join with us. And Dan, I'm super glad to have you here to, you know, kind of riff off and talk about things.
Yeah, thank you, Austin. It's good to be together with you again and to go a little bit deeper, as we say, on our text from last week. And just appreciate the space with you and with Tim as well when he's here too. So looking forward to it.
I am as well. Every week I am looking forward to it. So to kind of start us off, why don't you give us a bit of a summary of what the message was in case it's been a while since people heard it.
Yeah, so we have been continuing in the Gospel of Mark, really the season of Lent, going through that last week of Jesus' life before the cross. So we're getting closer now. And this week we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, that scene in Mark 14, verse 32 to 42. Really the focal being Jesus in prayer before the Father and really struggling, wrestling with the enormity of what is before him. And that was really a lot of what we talked about. See his humanity, his full humanity coming out and just this wrestling with the cup that he's been called to drink. And we see the weakness of the disciples who he asked to pray with him, who keep falling asleep. But we really just dwelt on Jesus there in prayer and just, some of his humanity shining through in that struggle, and yet how he's then strengthened through prayer to go about his Father's will, to go drink the cup that he's been called to drink. So, yeah, powerful text. I said to a few others,
right?
You know, you have to bring out some of the emotion of that scene and inhabit that, I think, even as a preacher. And yet it's so easy to almost, for me personally anyways, to get overtaken by that. And so I know I was trying to walk that line, even just reading that text. There's so much emotion that you feel like you rightly need to bring to what Jesus is saying there and how Mark's describing that. I mean, he's deeply distressed and troubled and his soul is overwhelmed. I mean, these are emotionally heavy descriptions. So very powerful scene.
It really is. Every time I read the Gethsemane passages, I'm struck by how much there is there. Mm. Like you could probably, I mean, I'm not a pastor, so I wouldn't know, but I would assume you could pull almost a year's worth of learning and sermons and whatnot just from that one segment. There's so much there that deserves weight and recognition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some doctrinal things. You talk about, you know, who Jesus is. There's certainly sin things there as far as look at the disciples and how they're not responding. There's, yeah, relationship and prayer. Man, there's a lot, like you said. So
there's a lot. Well, and man, I was, you know, you mentioned the disciples not responding. I was, you pointed out on Sunday that, you know, Peter, James, and John had just made all of these really bold statements of commitment. And like, these were Jesus's guys. And yet them not being able to stay awake for him, that just kind of struck me a lot and, you know, made me like pay attention, like, hey, is there something that I've been asked to do? And I'm like, I'm falling asleep. Because if these are Jesus's guys, these are the guys that are sold out. You know, that's kind of convicting for me.
Yeah, I think Jesus sums it up very well in the garden there when he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that was a reminder for me too. You know, sometimes things come together and my passion and desire for following Christ is matched by my actions and the way I'm going about things. But yeah, we're just weak in our flesh, in these earthly tents, and we stumble, we get distracted, we just are ignorant. And I think the reminder keeps coming through, even as we come to the very end of Mark's gospel and the Easter story, that we need the power of Christ and we need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we don't do anything. We just go in the way of the flesh, so to speak. And so, yeah, even those, you know, Peter and James and John, I think they met full well what they said. And later on, of course, we'll even see them, I believe, in the power of the Spirit, living this out more fully. But it was just like they couldn't help themselves. The text says their eyes were heavy. They just couldn't stay awake, even in this poignant moment. And yeah, it's very true of me too.
Yeah, For sure. Well, I've got one somewhat bigger question that I'd love to just open it up for you to talk. But one of the big things that we were discussing in the sermon was how we've got to really lean on God in this and lean on God through prayer. Mm. And again, this whole thing is looking at Jesus's prayer and his, you know, if this is possible, take this cup from me, but all the same, your will still be done. And you said at one point, if we don't turn to God in prayer, we won't be able to turn away from temptation. So like kind of dealing with the concept that like, we'll always turn to something when times get hard, things get rough. And looking at our world, you know, we can see that everywhere, whether that's looking at people turning to addiction and alcohol or drugs or turning to attention in social media. But as we as Christians are talking about it, you know, we're supposed to turn to God in prayer. Not everyone comes from the same faith understanding that you and I do. Not everyone has, you know, this relational understanding or not even fully understanding of what prayer might be. So if I were to try and explain this to a non-believer, how would I kind of go about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question to ask. So often we're talking with fellow believers, and so there's a, you know, even in a sermon, you just kind of assume some starting points sometimes. But I think for anyone in life, you have people that you go to when you really have questions, or maybe you're struggling, or maybe when you know you're getting in trouble. These kind of ballast people, if you know what I mean, these kind of anchor people in our lives that we turn to, that we know will be honest with us, that will shoot straight, that will tell us if, hey, you're getting offline here, Dan, you've been acting this way. And I think that might be a good starting point. You know, a lot of people, it's maybe their parents or a parent. It could be a good friend or a mentor. But I think most people have someone that when they're having questions, when they're struggling, that they would typically turn to. And then I think very personally, we could say for us as Christians that when we are going about things well, God is that even more so for us. He's way more dependable, way more powerful, helpful, whatever, you know, kind of description you want to use there, than even my best human friend, and has way more strength in his storehouse, so to speak, that he can give to me. But that might be a good way to start, because if, you know, you and I, Austin, are good friends, right. I gain something. There's these people that in my life too, that I turn to, I talk to, that I get strength from talking to them. They encourage me perhaps when I'm down. They maybe straighten me out when I'm getting a little crooked. Like you said, maybe when I'm turning to unhealthy things, this person says, hey, that's not you. This isn't what you should be doing. So maybe that's a starting point in our conversations. Yeah. If someone says, what's this prayer stuff? It sounds so weird to me. What is this all about? And maybe a starting point to say, yeah, this is a relationship with God. And he promises to listen and talk and be there with us and give us strength, especially when we're, you know, seeking him as we maybe are going down, facing temptation to go down wrong paths. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on that or from conversations you've had?
Oh man. I mean, that's just, that whole relationship element is so foundational to, it's at least, especially my understanding and application of faith. Mm. So I love you hitting on this because there's a whole bunch of guys that I'm, you know, what we would in the Christian world call accountability partners, you know? And so we do this thing where we're like, hey, I see you're, you know, going down this track. I see you're going down this track, you know, let's get back on track. Also, you know, encouraging the good things that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a foundational element of my relationship with other believers and other guys that I'm really, really close to. And so again, just that emphasis on like, hey, let's start, like, you know, it's kind of sounds cheesy and, you know, overly Christian-easy, whatever term you want to use. Like have God be your accountability part. Have God be one of these, you know, build that personal relationship. That's just such a, it's a really profound thing for me, who a lot of my life centers around these relationships.
Yeah. I think it's important to say, too, that we still need those human relationships. I mean, first and foremost, to connect with the Lord, we're called to do that. But, you know, we need these brotherly and sisterly relationships Really, that's how God, I think, works even to supplement our times in prayer. Often he'll send someone, mm-hmm. you know, we're having a conversation yeah. and you'll say something to me. I'm like, oh, boy, I needed to hear that. And it's God speaking, you know, through you or through, like you said, right. an accountability partner. So we should be careful to say it's not like just you and Jesus. You don't need to talk to anybody else.
Well, and that's why we have the church as a larger yes. body. That's why we're called to this community. You know, so much of the New Testament is talking about this community of believers mm-hmm. and how we're supposed to engage as community, as a healthy community. Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely right. We can't just say, oh, yeah, no, it's just God and I. We got this thing, just the two of us. Don't need anyone else. Like, that's dangerous in and of itself, because mm-hmm. then you get into isolationism and then you don't have anyone keeping you accountable.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's good. I think Tim might have said that last week in our time together, mm-hmm. just how easily we deceive ourselves. So even in spiritual things and our relationship with the Lord, it's easy to think, oh yeah, I'm doing this all right. I have a down pat, you know, and God's telling me all this. I'm hearing it correctly, where the community comes in and can say, oh, damn, that's not how we're hearing this. Or have you thought about this? Oh, yeah, it's not just me in this world. And so mm-hmm. I think that's good. You know, kind of having the Lord as our, you know, our head, so to speak, and the chief one we're talking to, of course, but then seeing how he is speaking even through all these human relationships too. So hopefully it all works together to keep mm-hmm. us on a good path.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Dan, we were saying there's a lot more that we can pull from Gethsemane and pull from these prayers. Was there anything else that you feel is, you know, worth reemphasizing or worth bringing up that you didn't get into on Sunday? What more do we have to learn from this?
I did emphasize it some in the sermon Sunday, and I've mentioned it at the outset here, just how in this scene in particular, we're seeing the humanity of Jesus coming through in his wrestling here in the garden. And that's really important to emphasize. You can obviously go one way or the other. You can overemphasize the divine side of Jesus and kind of almost deny his humanity, or of course can almost deny his divinity on the other side. I guess in my experience mostly, we're more comfortable talking about the divinity of Jesus, the Son of God, and his power, of course. Sometimes the human side, again, at least in my tradition and experience, makes us a little more uncomfortable. But this scene reminds us how important that is, that Jesus is fully human. And it's necessary because we as human beings, we sinned against God. So he needs to be fully human to be our Savior. And I was thinking of what John says in 1 John in his letter, and talking about this is how we know if someone is from the Spirit of God or speaking in the Spirit. They confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God made flesh. Right, those two things together. And it's just vital. And so I think it can make us a little uncomfortable. You know, doesn't Jesus know everything? And how can he say, take this cup from me? And but we're seeing right. fully human, fully God coming together there.
Right. Well, and that wrestling with God is that is very profound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus, who is God in all these ways, still not liking what he's got to go through, even though he's got the bigger picture, he knows mm-hmm. what's why this is necessary and why this is important. Him not liking that is really, and him saying, hey, I don't want to do this. I think that's really freeing for me, as I sometimes look at some of the stuff that God's put in front of me. Well, like this whole immigration mm-hmm. stuff. For those of you who are listening who may not know, I've been going through immigration problems trying to get my wife into the country for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that is a cup that I have prayed for God to take from me yeah. daily that entire time. And so, you know, reading Gethsemane and reading Jesus, God incarnate, saying, hey, I don't like this. Take this away if it's your mm-hmm. will. That's really freeing for me to say, hey, it's okay to be hurting, and it's okay to be upset, and it's okay to tell God that you're upset and that you don't necessarily like what you're going through, as long as there's that "but your will be done" mm-hmm. attached.
Yeah, it's so powerful. The writer of Hebrews puts it, you know, I think very beautifully. You know, he's able to sympathize or empathize with us in every way. And sometimes I forget too, just Jesus is fully human, still is, right? He didn't get rid of that. That was, a bit of a revelation to me, even when I was studying in seminary, just that reminder that even when Jesus then ascended, it's not like he just left his human, you know, kind of, you know, body, just kind of dropped that off on the way down. And, no, he's still and will forever be fully right. human. This is who Jesus is, and how comforting that is. Or even as we think about him being in heaven already, we already have one of us there now, you know, of course, the first fruit. And I think you're right. I mean, just as you've mentioned your own personal experience there with immigration, you know, for anybody who's listening, you think about something that you dread. And it can be often for us, it's kind of silly things. It can be very serious things. But if you don't like the dentist, right, you can get worked up about that and going there for that appointment, or let alone facing a surgery or a diagnosis, or, yeah, just a difficult season like you've had with immigration things. And and how much, like you said, we don't want to have to go through that if it can be helped. And then times that by infinity, as Jesus is about to take on himself
all of it,
the sin of the world, right? And it's hard, thankfully, it's hard for us to imagine that. But yeah, of course, that's going to have an impact, and he's going to wrestle with it. And he's going to look for the strength of his Father to go forward. And I think that is a comfort to us in whatever our struggle might be. It might be the most trivial thing, but to know, hey, Jesus understands. Another reason why, as we said at the outset, we can be turning to him and receiving strength from him. So,
Well, Dan, thank you so much. I really appreciate your insight and you taking the time. Listeners, we thank you for joining us. This is something that we love doing, just the two of us and with Tim, but it's made so much more full by having you listening and walking on this journey with us. If you have any questions for Dan or Tim or even myself, although probably shouldn't be asking me questions because I don't know anything, feel free to shoot them in an email at aslater@friendshipcrc.org, and we will try and answer those as best we can. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. You are all so loved. Go in the blessing of God.